sitting there debating you or just not even following it. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, if you needed to pay me to be your friend, I would require a lot more money.
Yeah. All right. The first question I had was that that article you sent out through email about breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like in your I don't know, back from Vienna post, I think you had mentioned that you had coffee and cream only for essentially for breakfast or skipping breakfast.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any advantage or disadvantage to throwing in like a scoop of your DH blend from Protein Factory?
Disadvantage.
Okay. And why would that be?
When you wake first thing in the morning, of course, you know, everything's being mobilized to burn fat. Cortisol is helping you mobilize fat, release it from the fat cells, and you want to try to avoid doing anything that will stop that, and that includes raising insulin levels. That's why, unless somebody's just going for pure gains, I would say no leucine, no hydrolysates whatsoever, and no anything that will potentially raise insulin levels. So Blendee's got some hydrolysate in it, which is going to raise insulin levels, and you're going to kind of turn off the fat burning that you're trying to take advantage of.
Okay.
So but there are things you can take to accelerate it a little bit, besides the whipping cream.
Such as?
Coconut oil is one. MCTs, if you get a good burst of triglycerides right away, which MCT will do, you get a burst in ketones, which you got to make sure you're burning them because, of course, too many ketones can also cause an insulin spike. So this is something I would tell somebody who's going to train first thing in the morning or go do early morning cardio.
Okay.
Go ahead and do some coconut oil. And then for protein, whey isolate turns out it'll raise your free amino acid levels, but not so fast that you'll get an insulin rush.
Okay.
So that's kind of the combo. About 10 grams would be max.
So okay.
Half a normal scoop of protein powder.
Okay. So when you know the amount, could I just throw that in my coffee?
That coconut oil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really good.
Okay, like a couple tablespoons?
Yeah, about, so you want to run 100, 200 calories worth, which is a tablespoon or two.
Okay, perfect. Okay, the next question I had was, you know, like when you write your articles, you know, you make it sound like someone can come off of a workout and just pound an entire box of turnovers. You know, like to what extent? I mean, I'm sure it varies by person to person, you know, quite a bit, but mm-hmm. You know, for someone in my stats, that's, you know, roughly 240 pounds, you know, a 2-hour workout, heavy weight, higher volume, you know, what can you, I guess, what would be a starting point to try for the amount of food, I guess the shit food you could eat?
You could easily eat a box of pastries.
You could.
Yeah, because I was doing that at 220 and not gaining any weight.
Okay. Wow. All right. So do you, is that more of an instinctive thing, or do you have a certain number you shoot for every night?
So for me, I've been doing this a long time. I know my body pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I know literally an hour after a meal if I screwed up or if I was on track or if I need to eat more. And then the next morning will tell me even more, like, wow, did I really screw up last night? I need to adjust what I do today. So sure. Almost everything I do right now to people around me seems intuitive, but I'm constantly checking myself, how I feel and how I look for feedback.
Okay.
In general, what I would tell somebody else is go crazy. See what happens.
Yep.
Odds are you're going to do too much. Then you ratchet it back. I'm a big fan of going overboard and ratcheting back rather than trying to ramp up. Because When you go overboard, you get bigger responses faster, and you can see what that does, and you know what it feels like, so you can compensate easier down the road.
That makes sense. Definitely.
But yeah, you should start eating the box of cherry turnovers. All
Know, I'm more of an apple turnover guy, so I might try that, but
right, fair enough.
okay. I've asked a couple people who have, I guess I've pointed to your articles, and one thing that always pops up is how would you backload on a typical off day? Do you Obviously, it's going to be specific to the person, but would you have a less amount of carbs or different types of carbs on your off night compared to a training day?
Like always, my answer is it depends. For example, if I'll take different scenarios. So somebody, you said you train about 2 hours high volume. All right, you're going through a lot of carbs. Odds are your body's not able to replenish on every one of your backloads, especially since you don't train till normally 6 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yep, correct.
Okay, so 6 o'clock, you're done at 8 o'clock, you got a post-workout shake, you're slamming carbs till 10, your body's having a hard time storing that. So for you, if you had one off night, let's say your training split was Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, with
Okay.
Wednesday an off night, I would go ahead and eat carbs like normal on that Wednesday night.
Okay.
Backload. Come Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, I would probably back off and not eat a lot of carbs. I'm going hypothetical that Saturday
Sure.
and Sunday are both off days.
Yep.
So Saturday, I probably wouldn't eat many carbs, and then Sunday, I'd be right back at it.
Okay.
Or the reverse. Saturday, load up if you're feeling a little sluggish from the days before the workout. Or, yeah, you just feel kind of depleted.
Yep.
I would go ahead and have carbs again Saturday, skip them on Sunday night. But if you're waking up bloated Saturday morning because you really did get in a good amount, I wouldn't be eating them Saturday morning. Or Saturday night, sorry.
Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, I've started to learn what I do respond best to and what I don't respond best to as well. And I'm sure there's a lot of variables that come into it. That kind of depends on the individual itself. But when you say, no, when you say lower the carbs, do you mean, essentially go low, stay under 30 grams the entire day, or?
Yeah, it'll be a really low day
Okay.
for the entire day. I might, it's hard to answer this question in general because my audience is so wide. For someone like you or me, you could probably still have one good meal of carbs that Saturday night. Even though your whole day's been low, you could probably still do a burger and fries Saturday night. Not gonna make a difference. And then Sunday, you could have a lot of carbs.
Okay.
For somebody who's 170, 180 pounds, they really just need to be clean the whole day and keep their carb count low.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Next question. Do you avoid anything in particular during the loading period, say on a training day? Is anything fair game, or are there certain things you avoid?
Again, that really depends. So just like your muscles store a lot of carbs, but they also store a lot of triglycerides. And if I'm, and this is something I haven't really talked about in the articles yet, that'll be coming up over the next year, but there's also fatty acid transporters, just like there's glucose transporters. And they're also overactive after you train. So if I feel flat, you could look flat for two reasons. You could look flat because you're really dry, you've got no water stored in your muscles, you've got no carbs stored in your muscles. Or you could look flat because they're totally drained out of stored fat as well. And I go through long periods where I'll be riding at 6% body fat. And at that point, cheesecake, it really doesn't bother me if I have a piece of cheesecake or two on a night after training, because the fat and everything, I'm gonna store a lot of it in my muscles. Especially after training, your muscles want to soak up everything that they have room for. But if I'm feeling really full and I look jacked, odds are my muscles are pretty full of triglycerides at least. So I'm gonna back off and I'm gonna have more of the cherry turnovers, you know, pastries that aren't as high in fat,
Okay.
and you know, trying to limit it that way.
Okay, that makes sense. As far as protein intake goes, with backloading, is there any adjustments that, I guess, being you're essentially doing things a little differently than just calorie counting at that point? As far as, you know, the general recommendation being 1 gram or 1.5 grams per pound of body weight.
I still stick pretty much with my prescription that it's somewhere between 1 gram to 2 grams per pound.
Okay.
You really, you know, they've got enough studies now to show that it really doesn't even matter when you eat that. It's just that you're getting in that amount through the day.
Gotcha.
So if you really want to load up on all that protein afterwards, you know, have a few shakes with all your carbs or spread it out through the day before. It's really a number for the 24 hours and not per meal or per whatever part of the day. And then, like I said, that there seems to be this cutoff. I mean, once you get over 2 grams per pound of body weight, there just seems to be no advantage whatsoever.
So do you normally, you know, I guess for me, like I had sent you in that email, I have probably about a 2 hour feeding window. And, you know, usually for lunch, it'll be fast until noon, and then I'll have a couple scoops of protein and like 6 whole eggs for lunch. And then I'll train. I'll have protein shake as well then. And when I get done, you know, chowing down a pound of steak will definitely fill me up a lot more, and it's hard to get in the amount of carbs that I need at that point.
Right.
So, you know, have you run into any situation like that where, you know, would you recommend, you know, cutting the steak down a little bit and having more liquid protein at that time, or?
Yeah, again, it's a little bit on feel, but you know, your goal at that point is to refill your carb stores. Doing that and doing it with the junk, like I talked about in the one article, you know, it allows you to burn carbs better the next workout. And to keep a backloading working. So if you have to sacrifice some steak and go for a protein shake, I would do it. What I usually do, just because I get tired, I've gotten tired of shakes after like 2 decades worth. I eat a lot of cottage cheese. It goes down easy for me. You know, I can eat literally a pound or two before I go to sleep. And that's usually how I compensate for it, especially if I want a hamburger or, you know, something that is far more substantial and I know is going to fill me up faster than maybe what I want.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's see here.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of research now on, and the food companies or fast food restaurants, things like that, are partly who we can thank for this data, but they've done a lot of testing on what increases satiety. And it turns out the less viscous a food is, so imagine mashed potatoes with a ton of butter compared to really dry baked potato. You can eat a ton of the mashed potatoes. It's not as viscous, it's creamier. You can get down a lot more food before your body tells you you're full or will make you think you're full doing that. So sometimes I'll use little tricks like that, especially when I make somebody's diet and they're telling me they're having a hard time getting in certain foods. I'll switch up their foods to take advantage of those kind of things. So actually they're getting in a larger volume, but they don't realize it. You know, their body doesn't kick in any signals to say, "Whoa, you are stuffed, you're bloated, you need to back off." It just those don't get kicked in. So that might be something that you might want to take a look at for your own plan, because you know, like you've got that 2 hour window, you need to make sure that you don't get full before you've gotten in all the refilling that you need to do.
Yeah. You know, I've tried to, I'm hungry, you know, an hour and a half later, but I'm still, I don't feel like I'm hitting my targets. Like some one big indicator for me, would be the next day. If I know that I ate enough, I wake up, I definitely feel harder and dry. And I usually get hungry right at around noon when I would normally eat. But if I don't eat enough, you know, I get pretty hungry and cranky around 9 or 10, and I know I didn't do it right the night before. Let's see here. As far as any pre-workout nutrition, you know, I know you work out generally, you said around like 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah, well, right now it's whenever I can get to the gym.
Okay. Well, say like in, you know, say someone who gets off at 5 o'clock and works out at 5:30. At that point, I'm fairly hungry. You know, when I had my last meal at noon, I come home and I'm fairly hungry pre-workout. And usually I've tried the post-workout shake, but it seems like I just, you know, midway through the workout, I just hit a wall. And it's tough to break through that. So I've added essentially the post-workout shake, I sip through the workout. You know, is that something that you would not recommend that I adjust, or?
Nope, that actually works great. And you can also add coconut oil, might be hard to add to that because it congeals, but you can buy MCT oil through Amazon or online, wherever.
Okay.
And that is a great addition. So while you're working out, you're getting those aminos, they're going to fuel you. You're also going to get, if you add the coconut oil, you'll get a spike of triglycerides, which then spikes ketone production, which is going on anyway. And then all of that together is just going to make you feel stronger and give you more energy through the workout.
Okay.
It's actually one of the things I cover in the book is pre-workout nutrition, intra-workout nutrition, and then post-workout nutrition.
I can't wait to get my hands on that book.
It's got a lot of good information for anybody doing anything, really. And then it tells you how to put all those pieces together for carb backloading. But there's a lot in there. People can pretty much dissect this and apply it to almost anything
Okay.
on the stuff I've gotten there.
Gotcha. The I had two questions on supplements, and it's not, you know, does creatine really work and stuff. Don't worry about that. The first thing with the large amount of food you got to take in at night, do you take anything for digestive support or any type of fiber? Nothing.
No, I haven't needed to.
Okay. I
So.
guess I know, you know, like the last thing I want when I'm starving after a workout is a salad. So I guess I've tried some Metamucil and stuff like that, and that seems to keep things pretty regular, so.
Man, just is that a problem? Because
No, definitely not. I
yeah, I
mean,
was gonna say when I hit those carbs like that after I work out, there is just I don't need to worry about fiber to keep me regular the next morning. I'm blowing out pretty much anything that might have been left inside of me.
Good to start fresh every day, you know?
So that's why I've never worried about it. And then as far as digestive enzymes, like I said, there's so much research now where they load people up with protein at one time of the day, and it gets assimilated over 24 hours. So I'm not even sure how important extra enzymes such as papain from
Okay.
papaya and stuff like that to cleave proteins down more. I'm not sure how important that is compared to just starting with the right proteins.
Gotcha. Okay.
And that's one of the things with, blend H is loaded with the hydrolysates, which are dien-tripeptides, which apparently your intestines have this crazy unlimited capacity to transport those through without interfering with other amino acid transport. I really don't worry about it.
Okay. Makes sense.
Unless, of course, you're eating a lot of soy,
You
then you
know,
may want to consider a lot of protein enzymes.
I don't, I'm not much of a soy guy. I'd rather have a steak than some tofurkey,
Yeah, good. Good enough.
so. one of the questions, one of the members off of one of the boards I'm on actually had was, they have supplements that shuttle glucose. I can't remember the names he had listed, but two of the brand names were like Peaceline and Anabolic Pump. And his question was, is there any advantage to taking those on training or non-training days to the amount of carbs you're taking in?
My gut feeling is no. I don't know what they contain, but I don't know of anything in the research that speeds up shuttling of carbohydrates into the muscles or cells. At least nothing that wouldn't both stimulate shuttling into muscle and fat cells. And as far as helping it transport through the gut, again, too much, your body's got to do something with it. And even though you're most anabolic in your muscle tissue after training, that doesn't mean your fat cells can't store the carbs as fat. It just means that they're at a major disadvantage. So if you were to overflow, if you were able to transport even more blood sugar in faster, your only advantage is probably storing some body fat.
Okay, that
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't really know of too many things that speed up or accelerate or enhance glucose transport, at least at the cellular level, other than training or metformin, some of the diabetic drugs.
okay.
They make the cells more sensitive, but again, that they are not cell specific.
Okay. I guess I've never really experimented with that, and everything's worked just fine, but he had had that question, so I figured I'd ask it.
Yeah, it's a good. I'll look into it, see if there's anything to it, and then that would probably be a good thing to write a post about.
Well, yeah, essentially, yeah, I mean, there's like was it vanillin sulfate or something like that?
Yeah.
Just if it would make it more efficient. I've heard mixed reviews, I guess. I've never experienced anything like that, but
Yeah, vanadil is supposed to make your cells more sensitive to insulin. And if that's the case, it would work like metformin, which again would make all your cells more sensitive to insulin.
okay.
So you're kind of circumventing the whole point of carb backloading.
All right, that makes sense.
Right.
As far as the general questions I had, that was pretty much it. The only other question I had would be, I've kind of talked to you about my personal setup, about what I've been doing, and I kind of what I listed there in that email. So to start with, at for breakfast, I'll replace the or I'll basically not take the protein in the morning. Switch out the cream for coconut oil.
Right, okay. I'm looking through everything as you go through it right now.
Gotcha. And at 12, would you say to skip the leucine as well?
Yeah, I would, especially with the eggs. Eggs, it's good that you're eating them with the cheese and the ham because eggs have a nasty habit by themselves to raise insulin levels.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so, but you've got some cheese and ham in there that can attenuate that.
Okay.
That's good.
And then around 3 p.m., I usually have another shake just because I'm fairly hungry at that point. And at work, it's go, go, go. And I know you probably hear it a lot, but I don't have a lot of time to sit down and eat another meal.
Right. No, it's a valid point. It's hard to get in a lot of meals during the day, period. And then if you work, forget it. So if you're gonna get by chance the MCT oil, that would be excellent to add to that shake.
MCT oil, and then also no leucine in there either.
Yeah, I would skip the leucine in
Okay.
that one.
Okay. And then during the workout, the shake, you said that was fine.
Pretty
And
much spot
then,
on.
so as far as during the workout and the two shakes I have post workout after that, during that time period, I can add the leucine, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I would go ahead and have leucine with every meal at night.
Okay. Awesome. Well, are you did you find some recording software?
Ah, crap.
I think I'm recording this, and
No,
I'll
I'm
share.
kidding. I got something up
Oh,
and
okay. I was gonna say it'd be hard to kind of go through all that again, but you know, I'm
Oh,
always
I would be pissed if I forgot to turn it on for 30 minutes. I'd be pissed as hell. I'd make you pay me for this call afterwards. Even though it was my fault, I would make you pay.
just yeah, send me a PayPal request or something. If you could, I've retained most of the information you've given me, and I hope I'm praying my computer actually did record it, because I'm gonna go through it again, and it's a lot of stuff to digest, but I appreciate you taking the time to explain this stuff to me.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate that you've been so die hard for so long and been bugging the crap out of me the whole time.
Well, I guess it could go either way, because I have talked to people who just said, please just stop talking to me. I'm busy, and I know you're a busy guy, so I know that it's not many hours or free time in the during the day for you. So,
Yeah, no, you've been after me for a while, so I think you deserve it at this point.
right. Well, I do you have any particular date when this book's going to be released?
I'm really hoping soon. It was
Okay.
supposed to be the end of this month, and I don't know if you read my latest post. I'm sure you did. I said I've got basically a taskmaster now,
Okay.
and she's also kind of a internet marketing whiz. So she recommended holding it off, trying to flood the internet with more articles, and then doing a big release the end of November.
Okay.
So that's the target.
Is this going to be released, like through your website or like through Amazon or?
I haven't decided the exact details yet. Definitely through my website,
Okay.
kind of like I do the Carbonite book.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that I'm going to release a hard copy version of it that I'm not going to handle directly. That'll go through Amazon. And I'm probably not going to make a Kindle version or any of those because I can't set the pricing on that. So it would be unfair to people who don't have a Kindle to pay maximum price when people with a Kindle could buy it for like $3.
Yeah. Yeah, surely.
So, I don't want to be unfair like that. And
Okay.
then the big advantage is since I'm controlling the sales of it through my website, I'm going to include either 30 or 60 days of, I'm actually going to release a very early first cut of my diet software with the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so people will be able to log into it. It's the whole idea of it is to make it as stupid simple for people as possible to build a diet to meet their needs. So literally you get on, say, I'm a male, this is what I weigh, this is my goal, and I'm gonna backload, and it'll just spit out a diet, and that's it.
That's really cool.
Over time as the software advances and I get all the algorithms implemented, it'll actually modify itself for you as you tell it stuff like, ooh, I felt really bloated. It'll understand that and it'll adjust the food you're eating and how much and what type. And it'll just keep up with you and keep you gaining.
That is definitely a revolutionary idea there, sir. Nicely done.
Yeah, it helps to be a physicist who's also a software engineer who decided that the fitness industry sucked. So.
I was gonna say you kind of got the background for pretty much every requirement for that. So, I mean, yeah, more power to you.
Yeah, it's a very, very rare. Well, I'm gonna say it's rare enough that I'm probably the only person that could do all the jobs at once. Which I think is one thing that will make the software successful. I don't have to translate it to the programmer, or I don't have to tell the algorithm guy what I need and hope that his algorithms are good enough.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Awesome. All
I'll give you
right.
what?
I said, well, all right. That's awesome.
Yeah, if. Hopefully, if I can get it to workable beforehand, I'll let you have a sneak peek of it.
That would be awesome, definitely. Well, that pretty much sums it up there.
All right.
Thanks again.
No problem. You got everything you needed?
I got everything and more.
All right, good.
All right, you take it easy.
You too, Tanner. Have a good one.
See ya.